What follows may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The world is full of stories. Stories of mysteries. Of curiosities. Of oddities. Join Kat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
So I punched Kat in the side of the head. But wait, before you get mad at me, let me explain. I haven't been sleeping well lately, and I think it's disturbing the depth of my sleep. Mm-hmm. And remember a couple of weeks ago I was telling you about how I was flailing around while I was asleep and knocked a lamp off the bedside table? Yeah, well, I was flailing around again last night and punched Kat right in the side of the head.
Yeah, I woke up at 3:30 this morning to getting punched in the side of the head.
Oh, my God.
A reenactment might have gone a little something like this. Ow, what the fuck?
Something like that, yeah. It was like 3:30 in the morning, and I was pretty much up for the day at that point.
Yeah.
I felt terrible, and then I had to go into work.
Yeah.
And you went back to bed, and I was afraid to let you go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, a concussion.
Well, yeah, we went through the whole thing where I cried because I had just been punched in the side of the head. Mm-hmm. And then you just kept grabbing onto my head and going, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." It was awful. And then, yeah, and then you left, and I went back to sleep.
And then I got home, and Kat decided that she was going to prank me.
Yeah.
And got out her makeup kit and painted on a huge bruise on the side of her face.
Yeah.
And when I walked into the kitchen, she had a bag of frozen cauliflower up against the side of her head. And I'm like, "Oh, my God. Oh, that's awful." And I took it away, and then there was this big, horrible bruise.
You just kept saying, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God," over and over again.
So Kat made me cry.
Yep.
On Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a fun prank, but it turned out to be a reverse prank where I felt terrible. So my new term for the day is prankin'-mollin'.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a real thing, but
It is now.
Yep. It certainly is, and that's going to be our new Christmas Eve tradition.
Oh, good.
Prankin' Mullen.
I'm not looking forward to that at all.
No.
But you're okay, right?
Fine.
Okay, good. Lordy, I kept saying, "I can't believe I marked you up."
Which I've never heard that term before. I loved it.
Well, I'm not very violent, so.
Not during the waking hours, at least.
No. Apparently, Sleepy Jethro is a violent man. I don't care for him much. Anyway, I'm going to go first. Are we ready?
Yes, please.
Okay. Do you remember, I don't even remember how long ago it was, but I was telling you this story about a guy whose grandfather was in this 20-year feud with his neighbor, and they hated each other. Mm. And this went on for two decades. And then when the guy's grandfather died, in his will, he left $10,000 and a car and his golf clubs to his neighbor that he hated. And come to find out, they were really good buddies from the army, but they carried on this 20-year prank.
Prankin' Mollin.
Yep. And they fooled everybody in the family, but they had actually been going out and playing golf together two or three times a week and had monthly poker games for years.
I love it.
But they pranked everybody. It wasn't until the will was read.
Can you imagine being there and being like, "What now?" Why don't I under... What?
What? So I thought we would explore wills that were kind of unusual.
Okay.
Strange things that people wrote into their last will and testament.
This is always fun.
This comes from Reddit. Undead Kitten wrote, this is what my grandfather wrote. "To my daughter, Anne, who created my beautiful granddaughter, Jane, and her dear fourth husband, John, who made the mistake of laying hands on my Jane, I leave you $1, you money-grubbing bastards. To Jane, I leave all of my monetary assets, save $5,000, and my best gun, which I leave to my son Bill on the condition that he beats John bloody during the time between my funeral and my burial. Jane, bail your uncle out of jail, please."
That's beautiful. That's
word for word.
I love it. You money-grubbing weasel.
Headbanger Face Rip wrote, "My grandpa gave me all of his tools," which sounds dumb, but we're in the same trade, and it was a real life changer. It included a lift and his old shop truck, so I pretty much got everything to start my own shop, but a building. A pretty good chunk of change, and his dog, Tanner. As long as I made sure his live-in girlfriend at the time got absolutely nothing at all, and that I told my uncle he was fat and his wife was going to leave him if she couldn't find his pecker.
There's a lot of vindictive stuff in here.
This was literally scripted, and it was inside his will.
Beautiful. Do you remember that story that we heard of a woman who wanted her husband to change his last name to his grandmother's last name because his grandmother had money and dad wasn't wealthy?
Right.
And so she wanted him to change his last name so that she would end up with money when the grandmother died.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
That's amazing, right?
Yeah. There are some real ass wipes in this world. This one's great. This comes from Fairy Floss Fairy. My grandmother had her boobs done when she was in her mid-60s.
Nice.
Nothing wrong with that, of course, but when she died, she wanted an open casket with her boobs on display. Really, Nana? She passed away at 80 and got exactly what she asked for. Granddad ended up sticking two strategically placed flowers on her boobs. So she got what she wanted, and so did Granddad. R.I.P. Granny, you silly bitch, I love you. I mean, you know, if you're proud of it, why the heck not? It's a R-rated funeral.
Well, I mean, was she not wearing clothes?
No, her breasts were exposed.
Entirely?
Yes, except for two daisies.
Oh.
On her breasts.
Oh, I thought maybe they were just like, you know, she was wearing a really good cleavage shirt or something.
Nope, nope, they're right out there.
Oh.
Nana.
Nice.
Nice.
But she wasn't the only one with some rigor mortis, am I right?
Ooh,
am I right?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was really inappropriate.
Angelus Mortis 94 wrote, "My great-grandfather had a pair of socks, and he only wore them on Christmas, and only with his family. They were hideous. He wore them for years. After he passed, we found that he left those socks to my uncle in his will and told him to carry on the tradition, which my uncle has done. And I have been told I'm next in line."
That's precious.
For the Christmas socks.
I love it.
What's-His-Face Boy wrote, "I had a rich uncle. He was real crazy, and not in a good way. When he died, he had no friends, so he left his entire estate to an Elvis impersonator."
Just some random Elvis?
Random Elvis impersonator.
That's wonderful.
Everything went to an Elvis impersonator.
I love the idea that you could just be out there living your dream, doing the thing that you're passionate about, and then someone just leaves you a bunch of money because they were a dick and nobody else liked them. But they appreciated your art.
That's right.
I like that.
You just never know. RV14 guy writes, "My grandpa put in his will that a chocolate bar be given to every one of his grandkids. And I have like 12 cousins, and it was very difficult to track them down. A couple of them, it took a long time. All the estates and money he had in his will were at a standstill for months because they couldn't find two of the cousins. We had to show the court that we put in effort to hire somebody to track them down for chocolate bars. The lawyer that was helping execute the will was blown away that another lawyer allowed this and why he didn't highly suggest Grandpa not do it. But I'm not complaining. I got a sweet Toblerone out of the deal." Well, congratulations.
That's awesome.
That's great.
That's such a weird thing to do, but all right.
This really makes me want to strategize and fine-tune my last will.
Mm. Ours are pretty boring.
Yeah, it's pretty boring. I want something really weird. Like, maybe not quite as outrageous as Hunter S. Thompson, who had his ashes fired out of a cannon, although I love that idea.
I know you do. We've talked about that.
If we do use a cannon, it won't be my ashes. It'll be my cadaver.
Right, freeze it first. See what happens.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like where this is going.
Yeah, it 100% will not happen.
Lena Christina writes, "Family friends did this. They had a net worth in seven figures and two children. They left everything to their daughter and $1 to their son, quote, for reasons known to him. He'd been estranged, I guess, from the family for a while. That way, their daughter wouldn't be caught up in any kind of legal battle by naming their son in the will and leaving him, quote, some money. He couldn't claim he was omitted by error. This was apparently some good advice they got from an attorney.
I wonder what that was all about.
I don't know.
I'm curious.
I really would love to know some of the deets on all of this.
Absolutely.
Tiffy Jank writes, my grandma's will literally says that one daughter is to get nothing, that it is her intent to leave her nothing, and that it is her wish that the daughter not be informed of her death until after she has been buried. Half of her will is just language ensuring that everyone knows that she is intentionally leaving that daughter nothing and that she is not able to contest the decision. Wow. There's a great example of something that I would really like to hear the backstory on.
For sure.
Guard Dog wrote, my great uncle's official will gave the contents of his outhouse to the city council of the nearby town after they tried to take his land twice to build a new water treatment plant. He spent quite a few years fighting eminent domain claims and just wanted to give them something in return.
Wow.
Of course, that was not delivered for biohazard reasons.
Sure.
But as a joke, the kids boxed up all the books and magazines in the outhouse and dropped them off at City Hall. And finally, my grandmother left most of her money to a local donkey sanctuary.
Yay!
That's kind of cool.
That's wonderful.
Unless, you know, you were expecting that you would be named as an heir and your money went to a donkey sanctuary.
I think that a couple things are wrong with what you just said. One, you said your money, and that's not the, I mean, never count on money that is not yours suddenly yours.
That's true. But assuming that that is your point of view. Hey, wait, that was my money. See, then, you know, you're going to be disappointed, which illustrates your point. Never assume it's yours.
Right.
It could be a donkey's.
That's right.
It could belong to a wayward donkey.
I think all things in life you should approach that way. Like, as you go through life, think of like, oh, I love this Dodge that I drive. No, it's the donkey's Dodge. You don't know. I didn't sleep well last night. I got punched in the head.
And now, that thing in the middle.
Let's conduct a little experiment here on the Box of Oddities. I want you to answer the questions that I ask. I have four questions. Just answer them out loud. Are you ready? All right. What's 1 + 4? That's correct. 5. What's 2 + 5? That's correct. 7. What's 7 - 3? Correct again. The answer is 4. Can you name a vegetable? That's correct. Carrot is a vegetable. You said carrot, didn't you? Well, the odds were pretty good. For some reason, 90% answer the fourth question with carrot. Go ahead and try it with your friends or your enemies if you're feeling dangerous.
I've been going through some of your things while you were listening in the other room, and I just have to ask, can I wear this? This is The Box of Oddities.
Support for The Box of Oddities is provided in part by listeners like you on Patreon. You can support us too. Go to patreon.com/boxofoddities. Thank you.
The Box of Oddities with Kat and Jethro Gilligan Toth.
Christelle sent us an email.
Christelle?
Yeah, it's spelled like crystal, but it says pronounced Christelle. Christelle says, I'm having a rough decade this year. I hear you. The community on Facebook has been truly wonderful. Christelle's talking about the Freaks Box of Oddities group. Yesterday, I asked for a boost. Now, will you explain what a boost is?
So our podcast name initials are B-O-O.
Box of Oddities.
So people on the group refer to an opportunity to lift other spirits as a boost, and then it's B-O-O, capital B-O-O-S-T.
Yeah.
How do you spell boost?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
It's become kind of a big thing, and it all just kind of happened organically, which is wonderful. Anyway, Christelle said, yesterday I asked for a boost requesting memes and pet photos. I've received countless adorable photos of chickens, cats, and dogs, and even a pair of axolotls. More than that, I've had people directly message me to reach out, even though I had said the bad stuff was too huge to lay on someone else. That's way more than I would have asked for. I truly believe the warmth you both put into your work has built this beautiful community of freaks, and I thank you for it. May your festive times be warmer than a pre-cooked and prepared pork taint. Signed, Crystal, pronounced Christel. So,
That was really nice. And that is something that we have noticed recently, the boost thing. And I don't think that there's much that I've liked more in my life than seeing people just kind of rally around and be like, all right, well, you're sad. Here's a picture of a donkey that owns a Dodge. You know, it's been really nice.
What kind of a Dodge would a donkey drive? Because clearly they would need a convertible, you know, because the headspace. So... like a, does a Charger?
Is there a convertible charger? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to look into that. Plus, would a donkey drive an automatic or a stick? I'm thinking a stick.
Because he just seems...
sporty.
Rugged and old school?
Yeah.
Okay.
A convertible with a manual transmission. That's what I'm thinking.
That's a very specialized vehicle.
Four on the floor.
Sure.
Anyhoozle, what you got for me?
It's 1986, and an event was being held in Cleveland in an attempt to break a Guinness World Record. The United Way of Cleveland organized this spectacular stunt for fundraising and publicity. The goal was to release 2 million balloons. Children sold sponsorships to benefit United Way at the price of a dollar for every two balloons.
And this was 1986.
Six, yes.
Okay.
Tell me if you recall any of this business as we go.
So far, no.
No? Okay. So word on the streets of Cleveland were that these balloons were biodegradable. So good news there. So at the time, the record for biggest simultaneous balloon launch was held by Disneyland. And that had set the record the year before in 85 for the park's 30th anniversary. Now, according to Gizmodo, the guy from the United Way who planned this was in marketing at Procter & Gamble, and they were trying to rebrand Cleveland as being, like, cool and hip. And so they were like, we're going to get in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's going to be awesome. We're just going to release a bunch of balloons. It's going to look amazeballs. You're not even going to believe it. So the stunt was coordinated by Balloon Art by Treb, which was a Los Angeles-based company.
Okay.
They spent 6 months prepping for this event.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So on Public Square, they arranged for this structure, which was about the size of a city block, to be erected. And it was covered with a big mesh net. And so beneath that, inside the structure, were about 2,500 volunteers.
Oh, my God.
And they were all using helium
tanks.
Canisters
sure.
to fill up balloons. They worked for hours filling balloons with helium. The goal, as I said, was 2 million. So even with 2,500 volunteers, that's like 800 apiece. So volunteers were largely high school kids, and they were encouraged to take no more than 20 seconds per balloon. So grab the balloon, fill it up,
right.
Tie it up, release it into the net.
High school kids, you know they're going to be inhaling that.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, fingers became numb. Medical tape was handed out to stop bleeding. It got pretty intense
wow.
inside the net. Unfortunately, the weather forecast changed pretty rapidly with a rainstorm approaching about the time that they were expected to release these balloons. And so organizers decided that an early release was appropriate. And so at about 1:50 p.m., they decided they were going to launch these balloons. So it's September 27th, as I said, 1986, and it's 1:50 p.m., and they're like, this is it. We're going to break this record. It's going to be amazing. The volunteers are jazzed. They've been told that they're going to be a part of history.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's so excited. Okay. Because of the early release, they only ended up getting about 1.5 million balloons ready to go. But when they let go of that net, 1.5 million balloons rose up from Cleveland's Public Square, surrounding Terminal Tower and surpassing a world record set as we said, the year before by Disneyland.
The balloons, like a giant cloud, rose over the square while others tumbled and danced against the buildings. The crowd loved it.
It was beautiful. It looked like confetti going up.
That was great. Totally awesome.
I was surprised. I loved it. It was so great. All weekend. It was great. I loved it.
They were really enthusiastic about this balloon launch, guys.
What did he say? They bounced and tumbled?
They bounced and tumbled.
Against the building.
Yeah. That, by the way, audio from Headline News. Exceptional. The video is wonderful. And if you can track it down, watch it, because these young girls are like losing their minds. It's like they're seeing NKOTB for the first time.
They're wearing scrunchies and they have acid washed denim jackets.
You know it. Yeah. So the expectation was that the balloons would spread every which way, the glorious confetti-like spectacle dispersing like a child's dream as they slowly reemerge from a blissful slumber.
Uh-huh.
But instead, because of the weather change, the rain and the cold front, the balloons, instead of staying aloft long enough to be fully deflated before coming back to Earth, the airborne debris clouded the sky and was stopped by cool air and rain. So they started dropping toward the ground, still inflated.
Did people run screaming like hordes of panicked youngsters in acid-washed denim?
The balloons shut down a local airport. One of the pilots describing the situation as akin to flying through an asteroid field.
Oh my God.
It interrupted traffic. Several collisions were reported as drivers swerved to avoid slow-motion blizzards of multicolored orbs. Or because people were gawking at the spectacle of it, were not paying attention to the road, and were crashing into other drivers. This is according to Cleveland.com.
Wow.
Also, the situation was terrifying animals. A number of the balloons landed on a pasture in Ohio, which spooked some Arabian horses owned by a woman, and the horses were injured within their stampede to get away from these giant masses of balloons.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's not good. This woman ended up suing the United Way for $100,000, and that matter was settled under undisclosed terms, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Most tragically, two fishermen had gone out onto the water and were reported missing.
The balloons weren't responsible for the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
No, but these two fishermen who were stranded in the water, the Coast Guard search and rescue helicopter crew was not able to reach the area that they were lost in because of the huge number of balloons. The team tried to spot the fishermen floating in the lake, but guard officials said that the balloons in the water made it impossible to determine what were balloons and what were people.
Oh my God.
They had to abandon their search for these men, and the fishermen's bodies were eventually found washed up on the shore because Coast Guard officials were unable to assist.
Oh no.
The wife of one of the fishermen sued the United Way of Cleveland and the company that organized the balloon release for $3.2 million. That case was also settled on undisclosed terms. A huge number of dollars were lost because of this event. It ended up losing money rather than gaining money because of what they had to pay out in lawsuits and the damage that the balloons caused. Now, a 1988 copy of the Guinness Book of World Records does recognize the event as the largest mass balloon release ever, with 1,429,643 balloons launched.
My guess is that record will stand forever after
Probably.
Those lawsuits.
Yeah. A spokeswoman for the United Way, Jenna Snyder, was quoted in an article not long after this event saying, "We would not do a balloon launch ever again."
Yeah.
Yeah. I got most of this information from Wikipedia, from Gizmodo, from Mashable, and from Cleveland.com. Absolutely look at the photos. I mean, obviously, I'm going to post some of them on social media, but they're incredible and also terrifying. And until I found out that they were biodegradable balloons, I was pissed.
Oh, yeah.
But it is a sight to behold. It's really quite remarkable. And I mean, except for the mayhem that it caused.
Yeah. It sounds like an ill-conceived radio morning show stunt.
Absolutely.
I worked with a guy who decided to do a fundraiser for breast cancer awareness and research. And he thought it would be cool. He's a wacky morning show guy. Mm-hmm. He thought it would be cool to do a bit called Bras Across the River.
Yeah.
And so he had people donate all their used bras for weeks or whatever. And I'm not sure exactly how this raised money, but the idea was they would string the bras, they'd connect them all together mm-hmm. and string them across the river. And I think it was in Cincinnati or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, and it took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bras.
Sure.
All of them used.
Yeah.
Few of them had been laundered. Can you imagine the smell of old underwear that in a heap is probably the size of a donkey driving a Dodge?
Oh, my gosh.
It's incredible. He said the stench was overwhelming.
That's really upsetting because yeah. you should be washing your bras more often. That's all I've got to say about that.
Especially before you give them away. Come on.
No, that sounds terrible. Though even if they were laundered, I was reading a thing the other day about people's interesting scent aversions, mm-hmm. and someone was saying how they love the smell of laundry detergent, but they hate the smell of other people's laundry. Like even fresh clothes to them smells like repulsive.
It's a different detergent or just the idea that it's somebody else's?
No, they love the smell of detergent.
Right,
like,
okay.
Like the laundry aisle does it for them.
Okay, okay.
But the smell of laundry itself is...
But not their laundry, somebody else's
That's
laundry.
That's right.
Okay.
I wonder if it's just like your natural musk mixing in with...
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I immediately after that, I started noticing like other people's smells and I was like, oh God, no, get rid of this. Do not start hyper fixating on this. This will ruin your life.
Yeah. I remember your mom stayed with us for a while and she thought she would, you know, do something nice and do our laundry. And I came home to find her folding my underpants.
Yeah. It was very weird.
It was the thought that counted. Oh, wanted to thank Cam.
Oh my gosh.
Cam.
I have never felt more snuggly in my life.
Cam sent us a beautiful Christmas gift and it was a hand crocheted blanket and or a throw. It's bigger than an Afghan but smaller than a blanket.
Yeah, I
it's
would
an
say that
it's an Afghanket. No. It's an Afghant. It's an Afghat. It's a blank Afghat. I don't know.
It's what's nice about it is it's heavy as shit.
It's great.
It is so it feels like a weighted blanket. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's so cozy and came out of my laundry smelling wonderful. And we've been cuddling with it hard.
Yeah, it was really thoughtful. I can't imagine the hours you put in.
Thank you so much.
In making that. And thanks to everybody who has been kind enough to send us cards and gifts this holiday season. That, you know, totally unexpected and not necessary, but without question, appreciated beyond words.
We love it.
We do. We look forward to seeing you guys next time.
Until then, keep flying that freak flag.
Fly it proudly, you beautiful freak.
And so, let it be known that the Box of Oddities belongs to you, and its fate is in your hands. We wish to offer our deeply felt gratitude and appreciation for your patronage. TheBoxOfOddities.com on Facebook at Facebook.com/Box of Oddities Podcast, on Twitter at Box of Oddities, and Instagram at Box of Oddities Podcast. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.